This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my Strang Report podcast for Monday, August 3rd, 2020. It's the podcast to inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I'm starting something new on my podcast. I'm calling it Missions Monday, where I can feature different missions that are important to support and also to inspire you to support missions. It's very important. And today my guests are a young couple who have devoted their lives to missions. It's an inspiring story because they are reaching an unreached people group. You're going to want to hear this story, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to my guest today, whose names are Roy and Rhea. We're using pseudonyms because it's just very dangerous in that part of the world, and you just never know who is checking things out on Google. So the names really don't matter. The story is what matters, and I'm just so impressed with this young couple who has devoted their life. I've known Roy his entire life. I have known his mother my entire life, so I know the family very, very well. I've watched Roy grow up. I was aware of his interest in missions, and in fact, I've supported him personally. I believe that strongly in what he's doing, and I just suggested, hey, this would be a great story for my podcast because I want to inspire other people by their story and also inspire people to pray and maybe be aware of different kinds of missions. So, Roy, let's start with you. I'm interested in what motivated you to go into missions, and I know you're in kind of a different type of very modern technological mission, and I would be interested in what that is and what results you're seeing.
Well, first off, thank you, Steve, for your time. We are really grateful for this opportunity to share what is God's heart. That is our ultimate goal in when we talk about what God has done in our own lives. So what got me into missions in the first place was my family was very missions-led in their lifestyle, even though I grew up in the United States. But that culminated when I had just graduated college. I traveled to a country in Southeast Asia that's Muslim majority. And I remember looking at the city from a higher view and realizing that 99% of the people in the city had never heard the gospel, and that 1% were Christians, but they didn't know how to reach their own Muslim neighbors. And my heart was broken because I saw such a great need. And so when I came back, actually, from that trip, I did research, and I realized that globally there's 3 billion people who have never heard the gospel who are Muslim, Buddhist, or Hindu. And so something burned in me that I need to give my life to this call so that we can see the whole world reached. It says in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all people and then the end will come. And I realized I know what I need to do with my life. It's been a call that has consumed me to this very day. So more specifically, I have focused on media. I worked in radio for several years. And so then, when I shifted into missions work, I joined with media work overseas with the goal of training local leaders so that they could produce the media that could reach their neighbors from a Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu background so that the gospel could spread rapidly and exponentially in their own culture. So one story from that was several years ago, I trained a group of people who were working in media, and they had come from a Muslim background. And they were just so hungry to use media. So I trained them on some media skills. And I've walked with them over the past several years now where I've seen how God has used their skills for them to point to Jesus and seen how they've fallen in love with Jesus and followed him, even though they're like one of the 1% in that area who would make a stand for that. And so that is just something where I go, I want to see this happen in every place where a people group hasn't heard about Jesus, where how can we start to see this type of model reproduced so that the 3 billion can be reached rapidly and exponentially?
You know, this reminds me of some missions that I have visited in various parts of the world. I've had the privilege of being in over 50 countries, and when I'm able, I will visit with missionaries in the area to kind of find out what's going on. And I know some denominations that have grown rapidly because they didn't just send missionaries to do what they could do, but they set up Bible colleges and trained missionaries. In fact, my own parents participated for a year in India at a pretty well-known Bible college, and they were, you know, training young people to become pastors and to do so much more, you know, in their own culture than foreign missionaries can do. Now, my late father was a Bible college professor, and he had a doctorate, and he was able to kind of fill in when they had a need there. And I know that it was a very, very rewarding time in their life. They were in their early retirement years at the time, in a very different stage in life than you are. And I know you well enough to know your story that actually you were turned on to missions when you went on a missions trip as a teenager. And what would you say to people who maybe have teenagers, or maybe you could just explain, you know, what happened in your own spirit when you had that experience?
Well, I think that the biggest question with missions is you have to be exposed to cross-cultural perspectives and the ability to really see that maybe the lifestyle that we're living here might not be how someone lives it elsewhere. And so when I was 15, I actually did a missions trip to Mexico, and that was where my love of travel, my love of culture, my love of learning and seeing how God worked in different ways was just spoken up. And so for me, I say if there's a chance to be exposed to missions, I mean, do it at 5 years old. The more the better, because it helps to bring an understanding of how the world works, but even more to see how God works globally is so important, because the global church, us as a one whole body, we express our faith so differently and so uniquely, but it's all to seek God. And so it's fantastic to have that understanding, because it gives greater breadth and understanding to how we are walking with Jesus.
And your training people is sort of like having a Bible college in a manner of speaking, in that you're training locals who understand the language and the culture and everything else to do so much more than you could possibly do on your own. And of course, online, things can just become exponential in terms of, you know, who can be reached. And there are different missions that even in countries that are closed, they will send in television programs via satellite or in different ways, and they're able to get in the gospel. And of course, you're doing it online through these people that you're training. So I just admire that so much, and I feel it's something that's important, and I'm just so happy that you shared your experience. Now, because I know your story, I know there's a love story of how you met Rhea, who you went to the mission field as a young single man, and you met her there and fell in love. And what happened?
Well, I was at a missions conference and with the same organization that we worked for, and I sat down at the lunch table, and I had just shaken hands with Rhea. And then the man beside me asked me, Roy, are you single, or are you not married yet? And I answered, yeah, I'm not married yet. And he was actually confronting me that it's better to be on the missions field and to be married. And I decided to question that because I had other ideas at the time. And it led to a very awkward table conversation, but it made for a memorable way that Rhea and I met. And it's something that we still laugh and smile about to this day.
And of course, now you're married. You have a family, you're in the United States raising support, and you're going back. And I'm interested in Rhea's story. I know that she is actually from a country in the Far East. She was a missionary as a single lady. She's trained as a nurse. And she works with a group that I frankly had never heard of. It's called Rohingya. And it's a small, kind of despised group. People look down on them. They have no written language. You know, they're very, very impoverished. And so I'm just interested in asking Rhea, you know, how she learned about this people group, what she does, what her mission is to them.
Thank you, Steve. First and foremost, I'm passionate to see people being disciples and transformed in Christ. I especially desire to see hope of Christ bring illumination in the lives of people who bear darkness and without hope. And so it's a privilege, a huge privilege for me to serve the Rohingya through refugee work. My heart just breaks for them and laments for them. And I know that Jesus died for them, and they must know that and experience the gift of hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ. They just don't deserve to live in deep suffering without hope any longer. So it's just my heart that to really introduce Jesus Christ to them, their Savior and their Lord. I will assemble to them when we were praying to go to overseas. That was on May of 2015. I was reading a news article, and the article says that a nation in Southeast Asia, it's my country, that the Philippines rescued them in ocean, very desperate, malnourished, and just running away from slavery because they're being sold normally. And my heart was just deeply moved in the situation. And the Philippines is the only Christian nation in Southeast Asia, and I just felt convinced and convicted that this is the Christian nation, and this is right to stand for the oppressed. And I remember how the Philippines also sheltered 3,000 Jews during the Holocaust. And we're doing it again to the Rohingya who were also oppressed and experiencing genocide. And for me, I just felt like I'm a Christian and I have to stand for them. I have to speak up for them because they don't have voice. I have to speak up for them for justice because they're just so poor and destitute. And as a Christian, it's just right.
So when you minister these very poor people, what kind of things do you do and what results are you seeing?
I'd love to mention the spiritual background, actually. So the operation world calls the Rohingya people. Rohingya are a minority from Myanmar, Burma, and they're stateless now and living in Bangladesh, the most dire refugee camp in the world to date. Rohingya is dubbed as the boat people because they use boats run away to find hope in other countries. And the operation world classified them as the most neglected and unwanted peoples on earth. But I know, however, God has not forgotten them. And more than 10 years now, groups of Rohingya came to faith in Jesus, and that's the good news. And sometimes after summer, normally it's after a supernatural encounter in dreams or in vision. So despite numerous obstacles today, several hundred of Rohingya are faithfully following Jesus Christ. So how we serve them, because their situation is so dire and desperate, it's our heart to help them in holistic transformation. So not only to introduce Jesus Christ to them, but also develop job skills, education. And one of them that we're doing is, I call it Small, Simple, and Sustainable Project. So it's a livelihood program, like making jewelry, sewing clothes, and making greeting cards. This just empowers them so that they could earn their living with a certain hope and dignity.
Well, that's so exciting. And, you know, there's so much more that we could go into. Podcasts, by their nature, are short. And I'm hoping that listeners will be inspired by your heart for missions. I hope that people are inspired to take short-term missions trips. I've heard that a lot of the full-time missionaries that go to the field actually start as short-term missionaries. That's where they get a vision, very similar to what Roy just explained. I've gone on short-term missions trips myself to Guatemala. But, you know, everyone can't go. Everyone's not called to go like you are, but everyone can support missions, and I think it's very important for Spirit-filled Christians who are trying to follow Jesus, who understand the Bible, understand that the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that they'll be inspired to support those who are going, such as yourself. And, you know, you have a relatively small ministry. You know, there are some huge mission organizations. You hear stories about how a lot of it goes to overhead and marketing and all kinds of things. But here, for every dollar invested, there's just, you know, huge return. And I'll just say again that I believe so much in this young couple that I've supported them for a number of years and am continuing as they go back to the field to support them. And if I have any credibility at all, and I know them well, you don't, I hope that you will maybe consider supporting them. I'm going to ask Roy in just a minute to give us an email address where people could find out more information. And if you aren't able to support them or don't feel led to support them, pray for them. And maybe send this podcast to someone that you know has a heart for missions or who would be inspired by this very simple and genuine and heartwarming story. So, Roy, can you kind of tell us how people could get more information?
Yeah, we are going to give you an email address here. It's embracingcommunity@gmail.com. embracingcommunity@gmail.com. Drop us a line there, and we will be very happy to talk with you.
Well, that's a very easy email to remember. Maybe not as easy to spell. It's, you know, it's written as if it's one word, of course. And I hope people will respond. And as I wrap up this podcast, I'd like to just invite my listeners to subscribe to my newsletter at strangreportsub.com. It's free, of course, and I'm trying to build my newsletter list. It's about 27,000 now. And while we didn't talk about my books in every podcast, I usually invite people to check out the books I've written on stevestrangbooks.com. And also leave us a review on iTunes and Amazon. It helps. It really does. And thank you for sharing the podcast. Because of you, I've just passed 6 million downloads, believe it or not, half of them this year. People are listening and sharing, and people listen to old podcasts. You know, hopefully a year from now, people will still be hearing this podcast that we did in August of 2020. And that's good. And even though Roy and Rhea will be on the field by then, you can still reach them by email. And I hope that you'll remember to pray for Roy and Rhea and the Rohingya people and the outreach on media. You know, it's very important to undergird these ministries in prayer. And I know that sometimes in religious circles, it sounds like, kind of like a cliche. But, you know, it's tough out there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And those of us who have never been to these countries, actually, I have been to the country where they'll be. And I know that it's just very tough, and there's a lot of satanic attack. We have satanic attack here in the United States, that's for sure. But it's different, and we need to undergird them in prayer. And so as I wrap up, I'm going to give Roy the last word.
Thank you for your time, and just encourage you to pray for the Rohingya. As it says in Proverbs 31, speak out for justice, speak up for the poor and destitute. And we would ask that you would join us in advocating for the Rohingya so that they can know God's love and also have a chance to be able to make a living for themselves as well.
Well, thank you. That was so well said. And tune in tomorrow to the Strang Report, the podcast to inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when you encounter the power of the Holy Spirit, you're motivated to give, you're motivated to pray, you're motivated to serve. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.